go over there and shake hands, smile, hug their neck.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
We got to stop that buddy ball. Smash everybody in the mouth.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
You're in the Doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on 105.3 The Bear.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
You know what that means? Do you? We're the underdog. We're mutts.
My number one play is the power sweep.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Welcome in to Hour 3, the Power Hour, on Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog, Rick Watson.
And we are underway in hour number three. Thanks to Mike Burnham and Jermaine Farrell. Next line's open for you, 744-2990. We're now joined on the program. He is the Radford University Hall of Famer, our NFL correspondent, and my brother, somehow in the genealogy of life, David Smith. Good morning. How are you, my friend?
What's up, brother? Great to hear from you on a steamy Tuesday morning. Reminder to our listeners, of which we are not complaining.
No, not us. We just
cool off, folks. If it's hot, don't be in it.
That's right. Don't be in it.
Just figure it all out. But nevertheless, and Rick, by the way, we are less than 30 days away from the opening of NFL training camps. And I heard you and Mike Burnham talk earlier. The ultimate in dog days in the sports world has arrived.
We are.
I mean, listen, hockey wrapped up last night. Congratulations to Florida for not becoming the New York Yankees of 2004.
Right.
And then Tennessee wraps up the College World Series with a comeback after losing the first game of the best of three. They ended up beating Texas A&M in a pretty good game last night, so I heard. And after that, Rick, with Boston winning last week, it is slim pickings, isn't it, brother?
It is slim pickings,
but not for us, because I saw it coming and I figured we would break down these divisions week by week, and it's going to take us right up to training camp, at which point we'll have a lot more going on. So, but always good to be with you on a Tuesday, brother. Always good.
Well, we're wrapping up our NFC training camp previews. We've done the East, the North, and the South, and now what I think is shaping up to be a very interesting division, this NFC West. Which way do you want to start with in the West?
Well, I'm going to save the projected best for last, and so we're going a little bit of a reverse order, not necessarily by how I rank them, but just and how it plays out. The Arizona Cardinals, an interesting football team. They were 4-13 last year. They had 5 losses by 7 or less. No one cares, right? No one cares, but sometimes teams can gauge this and realize that they aren't as far away as you think if you're trying to look at a glass half full situation. New coach Jonathan Gannon got in there, and they did all this without their highly paid quarterback. And again, in this league, no quarterback, no chance. And Kyler Murray, a better mentally quarterback than he was previously. It seemed to be the new regime gave him a boost, and I think they ended the season on a bit of an uptick. But this year, they're going to have a challenge in the always tough NFC West. But their schedule, as I looked at their schedule, it breaks down kind of interesting, just some of the trends you look at while we have this time in the offseason. They open up at Buffalo. Then they've got 3 straight games at home. That's home for the Rams, Detroit, and Washington. Then 2 on the road at San Francisco and at Green Bay. Wow. So that's playoff teams, 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5 games. playoff games. But then they got the stretch in the season where they've got two at home in a row, a bye week, two at home away, two at home in a row, and then two away. So, and then they close out the season against San Francisco. So as I start to break down schedules and look at it a little bit, I find myself realizing that Mike Tomlin once talked about it too. You know, he always says the standard is the standard. It just doesn't matter. Everybody in the NFL has a tough schedule, whether we think it is or not. And every week when we break down games, Rick, you and I, when we select our four games to break down, it almost always involves a surprise, even though the schedule the week before doesn't necessarily give you, I don't know if it's going to be anything. There are 16 potential football games. Something's going to surprise you, right? And so as I think about Arizona, that's an interesting take on their schedule. And then you start to look at their roster a little bit. Of course, Kyler Murray is back there. And here's the deal. Again, we talk backup quarterbacks on this program because they're going to play a role in some of these teams either being able to hold water or not. And Desmond Ridder is their backup now. Probably not many people knew that. Certainly I didn't. From the Falcons last year, of course, originally of Cincinnati. So there he is. You still got James Conner. You still got Marvin. Well, since they still have Marvin Harrison, you now have Marvin Harrison, widely thought of as, if not the best receiver in the draft, probably one of the best football players drafted. Great pedigree, of course, with his dad, Hall of Famer Marvin Harrison, played with Peyton Manning forever. And then you still got Zay Jones as your other wide receiver and Trey McBride as your tight end. So when you think about Arizona, got some weapons on offense. The interesting part will be, can they take the next step in second year of Jonathan Gannon's head coaching tenure? It's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays itself out. When I think about Arizona, the challenge, as always with them, is number one, can Kyler Murray stay upright? And number two, will their defense be able to deal with the gluttony of offense that the NFC West will have? And so that's a quick take on the Arizona Cardinals. And I'm going to transition right away into the Seattle Seahawks. When I think about Seattle, this is the first year without Pete Carroll in a long time. And I had to go remind myself that the coach is the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator, the new coach, Mike McDonald, who a lot of folks were interested in throughout. And he settled on Seattle. And it kind of seems like a fit. Again, we don't play on paper, do we, Rick? But well, it true. Seems like, a, I mean, if that were the case, you know, we would have a whole lot of different champions. But Mike McDonald, a defensive guy by nature, the Ravens absolutely loved him. And so he will go there where Seattle thrives around the 12th man and solid defense and building from that side of the ball. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. His team was 9-8 last year, and Pete Carroll was as surprised as anyone that his tenure was going to end. Interestingly enough for them, the first three games of their season is against AFC teams. They're going to open against your Broncos. In Seattle. In Seattle. How about that? Bo Nix, here you go, brother. Right to the line again, right out the gate. Get your hand signals ready for a 405 lathered up crowd.
Have fun.
One.
Yeah, right.
Go get them, Tiger. Go get them, bro. Yeah. And then they go to New England, and then they're home for Miami. So if you Seattle, an opportunity to not have necessarily a gauntlet to start the season, you could end up in pretty good shape. We'll just have to see if this Geno Smith 2.0 version, I mean, how about a guy who's reorganized himself, right? And so he's settled into a place. We're going to see how that plays out. Four of their first six are at home. They do have to go to Detroit, and then they're home for the Giants and then the Niners. The first division game isn't until week six. And so they end the season with two road games at Chicago and at the Rams. Inside of that, they're also going to be dealing with Green Bay, Minnesota as well. So if you think about that particular group, Seattle has got to figure themselves out with a new defensive situation, and there's a lot of optimism around what they think they can be with Mike McDonald. Again, Geno Smith is your quarterback. Yeah, Kenneth Walker is your running back. Sam Howell is a backup quarterback, and their third quarterback is P.J. Walker. Seems like he's been everywhere, right?
Yeah.
It seems like he's been, and good for him, for being able to maintain. You still got D.K. Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith, and Digba. That's some weapons if you think about Seattle. Now, I'm not going to steal your thunder. You had talked about on Jermaine's, between Jermaine's segment and mine, that you had a sleeper pick in the NFC West. And so I don't know if this is who you thought it was, but we'll keep going. And I'll let you chime in and pause me. They got Noah Fant as a tight end. Seattle's got some doggone offensive weapons, Rick. I mean, to tell you, when I started to look at this thing, I go, you know, they're going to be okay. I'm not going to be worried about the defense, because that's what Mike McDonald was supposed to do. Is supposed to do. So Seattle coming off of a 9-8 season, 9 home games this year. three early AFC games that aren't a gauntlet for the first six are at home. And if Geno Smith can stay upright and just not turn the football over and be the best version of themselves, and Sam Howell is an adequate backup, they've got things in place there that will make the NFC West a little interesting. So I'm going to pause there and give you the floor to comment on those two teams real quick.
Well, going back to Arizona, all they had to do was allow Steve Wilks to have one more than 1 year, and I don't think they'd be in the situation they're in. So don't get me started on those guys. They deserve everything that's happening to them. That guy's just gotten the bad deal twice now. But no, Seattle's not the team that I had on my mark here. I think it's probably going to be the next team you're going to talk about, because I think that I know they lose the greatest at his position of his generation, but but these Los Angeles Rams have their old coach back after last year, and I think that that is going to kind of rekindle their contender status in 2024.
Let me just tell you, again, this is, ladies and gentlemen, why we're brothers on a lot of level and don't know how or why. But I absolutely am drinking the same Kool-Aid as you to a point, in that I really believe that the Rams have found their mojo. They won the Super Bowl and went Hollywood a little bit, probably.
Yes,
now,
yes.
Metaphorically, not that they weren't trying to win, not that they weren't trying to play, but it seemed like there was a well, I'm not sure if I'm going to come back kind of mindset from the coach. It trickled down. Aaron Donald, well, maybe I'm going to retire, you know, those kinds of things. I'm sure all that played a role in them not being the best version of themselves, a couple of injuries here and there, and you've got Matthew Stafford. But who's done better than the Rams on putting together people who could have been drafted by anyone and has made them all pros and all NFC players? Let's just take a look at their Matthew Stafford. Everybody understands him. Their backup quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo. That, again, they've got pieces in place. And again, we will emphasize, you think this show emphasizes backup quarterbacks. Mess around and have your quarterback go out and not have somebody competent in there. How did Cleveland do last year when they found Joe Flacco on the couch? Put him in there, and he took them to the playoffs last year and played admirably by having someone in that can keep things going, especially when your defense is as elite as Cleveland's was. Well, the Rams has got that. Stetson Bennett is their third quarterback. And then you've got McVay, who is, you're right, he's all in again. He tinkered, you know, he got married, he tinkered, all those kinds of things, and I think he is back to who he wants to be. But look at these guys. There's Kyron Williams as a running back. Fantastic season. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Anybody could have had those guys before.
Right.
And now they're all legendary under the McVay tutelage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Tyler Higbee is a tight end. I just really like that they're going to be in the mix this year. They were 10-7 last year. Three of their first five games are away. What doesn't bother me about the Rams is that they're a pretty experienced football team. That'll, for them, they'll see that as a chance to get out ahead of things. If you come out of that thing 4-1, you know somewhere in the mix you're going to get a decent amount of home games. They close the season with two division games at home, Arizona and Seattle. So all they got to do is survive the gauntlet, and they play in the AFC East this year. So when you think about it, you're talking about Miami and Buffalo tend to be at the top of it. We think the Jets are going to be better. And so if you're the Rams, you're feeling pretty good about it. I don't know what the defense will be. That's probably an admirable question mark, because you're losing, to your point. If he's not the best defensive tackle to ever played the game,
right,
he's one hand will get the rest of them. You know, you give me a little Joe Green if you want to put Reggie White in there. But if you're in the conversation, you're pretty good, I think. 10 years in the league, Pro Bowl every year, All Pro every year, but maybe one, maybe all of them. That's pretty decent. Walk away at 32 years old, you got your ring. So
yes.
I do not disagree with you in how I feel about the Rams. I'll give you this last piece before we get to the Niners. From November 11th to December 22nd, they are home to Miami at New England, but then they're home to Philly at New Orleans, Buffalo at home, and then at San Francisco and at the Jets.
Mm.
So that's a decent stretch to have the November through December before they close out the year with Arizona and Seattle at home to close out the regular season. So if you think about the Rams, it's a matter of surviving some of the gauntlets that everyone faces. When you get them in the second half of the year, it's interesting. And last tip on them, their bye is week 6. So they play 5 games, and then they get a bye in a pretty early part of the season before they have a stretch where they'll be coming down the pike. So that's your L.A. Rams, Rick. So still feeling great about your boys, huh? That's
well,
what you like, right?
I think Sean McVay reminds me of Joe Gibbs as a younger coach. They always try to adjust and stay ahead. Like, his offense is already advanced, but it's not going to look the same. It's going to have different tweaks to it. And I think that he knows that defense is going to have to develop. And have we seen a better quarterback swap work out for two teams the way Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff has worked out for the Lions and the Rams?
Great.
I mean, it is great. And I think Stafford is another reason I'm very high on them right now. And you're going to talk about the next team. And I think the head coach of that team, he'll try to keep the same positive kind of stoic sideline personality, but I believe there's a fire burning with him because I believe that fire might start getting a little hot underneath that seat here in 2020.
Well, watch this, Rick. I'm going to put two coaches together that I feel are comparable in different ways in terms of how people feel about them and why they should approach it the same way. Your guy, your favorite guy in the world, is Mike Tomlin.
Correct.
Mike Tomlin has had a winning record every year that he's been a head coach.
Every year.
Been to the playoffs in a number of years, hadn't won a Super Bowl in a long time. Well, I equate these two coaches, what they have done similarly, in that Kyle Shanahan has been on the brink of all these championships, on the brink of them. So if you think Mike Tomlin is close enough and has done enough to stay, then why are people feeling differently about Kyle Shanahan in the same scenario? And so saying all that to say, they were 12-5 last year, and I'm going to give you a chance to answer that before we go, by the way. So they were 12-5 last year, and of course the sport loves them, and for good reason. They're going to have 6 primetime games, 8 games at 4:15 or 4:20. So if you sick of the Niners, get over it. You're going to see them as much as you see the Cowboys. They're going to be on. They're going to be on quite a bit. And so, again, we know the roster: Purdy, McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk. And I heard that Ayuk was having conversation yesterday around trying to get that together. Of course, it gets closer to July, Rick. People get an opportunity to get these contracts buttoned up a little bit. You got Kittle, Jusek, Trent Williams. I mean, Logan Thomas, Virginia Tech's own, signed in the offseason. He's going to back up Kittle, so that's going to provide some stuff. We're excited to see that. Joshua Dobbs is Purdy's backup this year. And so you've got that. Elijah Mitchell is Christian McCaffrey's backup. They're a bit of a plug and play. They drafted Pearsall in case Debo's situation doesn't work out. There's a lot of talk around trying to pay all these guys. So you bring in a lot of guys. You develop them, and then you get to a situation where it's time to pay them. You've got to make some decisions. That's going to be their biggest deal. And on the defensive side, there's Fred Warner, Javarius Ward, Leonard Floyd. We know the names. Nick Bosa. Dre Greenlaw tore that Achilles in the Super Bowl. There's optimism that at some point he will be back. It's amazing what you can do with Achilles surgeries these days, Rick. I mean, that used to be so debilitating, and now people talk like, well, 8 months. I'm not sure why or how that's happened. But we're incredibly grateful to see him maybe get back on the football field because he and Fred Warner are beasts in the middle, and they really drive a lot of that. But, you know, like I know, the key to San Francisco is two things. One is, what can we expect Brock Purdy to be? Well, really three things. Two, can they stay healthy in their skill positions, whether it be McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle? You know, those guys get beat up a little bit. And then third, when you're the champ in the NFC and you're going to overtime in the Super Bowl, you're going to play a tough schedule coming back. And they will. They will play Dallas. They will play the Chiefs. They will play at Buffalo. They will play Detroit. They will go to Miami. They will go to Green Bay. So that's going to be the challenge for the Niners, is dealing with the schedule. But I will say, as I hand it back to you, the challenge for them will be, will they be able to handle this season? Because I really feel like if they don't get there this year, that several guys will have to make a move, as I hand this back over to you, for you to pick 1 through 4 in this division.
All right, 1 through 4 in this division. I will stay with you on the 49ers winning the division, but I think the Rams will have a better postseason. So I'm going to go 1-2. I'm going to go to Seattle, and I think you have to go Arizona 4 just because – I'm not sure about their head coaching situation with Gannon, and I don't know about Kyler Murray's health. I wasn't really sold on him anyway coming out of college just because of his size. So we'll see. But that's how I've got it. 49ers, Rams, Seahawks, and then Cardinals.
I have the 49ers, Rams, Cardinals, and Seahawks. I have the Cardinals inverted. And as an aside, I actually think the Cardinals are going to be the thorn in people's side. That will be the team that will turn on 1 week and we'll go, kind of like when they beat Dallas last year, that weird game for those of us that remember that. They're going to find a way to beat the Niners are someone really interestingly when no one's expecting it. So, but we're pretty close. I've got Niners, Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks, and you have Niners, Rams, Seahawks, and Cardinals as we wrap up the NFC in totality. And next week, we move up in class to the AFC East, my boys, the Dolphins, as we move into July next week. As we move on to division number 5 in the NFL, brother.
Well, exactly. And here's what I'll say about Tomlin versus Shanahan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mike Tomlin was never coronated the next great one. He was never a guy that was handed the reins and being just assumed was going to be just like, you know, somebody else. Kyle Shanahan's always going to be compared to his dad, who should be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not yet.
Correct.
Mike Tomlin has never made his team about anything other than his team. He's never put himself ahead of the team. He never talks about himself. He's tried to be loyal to his assistants. And I know it's been since 2010 that he won the AFC Championship. I know that. He has a Super Bowl. And it has been a long time. I have a lot of Steeler friends, a lot of Steeler fan friends who want Tomlin gone. Mm-hmm. And I just always be careful what you wish for. And I get it. I understand.
Promise.
But he's still getting his team to the playoffs more years than not. Last year's team was not in any way a 10-win team. And here they are getting 10 wins. I just think he accomplishes so much. He's going to be tested this year, there's no doubt, with Russell Wilson. That's going to be – let's see if he can get that done. But on the other side with Kyle Shanahan, what has he won, right? He blew the lead in the fourth quarter. He was the offensive coordinator. You're up 28-7 on the Patriots, and you start calling all these weird plays. You get a head coaching job, and we're always told, hey, they're going to win so many Super Bowls. Well, he hasn't won one yet.
Hadn't done it yet.
Right?
You're right. You're right.
Yep, so show me you can win one, right?
You're so right. And I guess where I see the attachment to being comparable, I know we got to go, is I think both of them need to continue until they get. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
More than anything.
Correct.
You don't blow up you know what, he needs to go. Wait, he's knocking on the door. No, you just make tweaks and you get in versus blowing it all up and starting over. So that's where I see him being comparable.
Correct.
Versus
correct.
Anything different than that. You and I aren't necessarily coach killers unless they make how I see it.
Well,
100%.
And Mike Tomlin would never treat an assistant like Kyle Shanahan treated Steve Wilkes.
But he would not. He would not.
So,
he would not. Nope. You were together on that. 100%.
All right.
There we go, brother.
Great stuff. Great stuff as always. I hope you have a great week. Enjoy the warm weather because I know you will.
I will, brother. We will talk next week as we move into July.
All right. Sounds great, man. Great stuff as always from David Smith. Great conversation. We'll start looking at the AFC next week. There's our look through the NFC. More coming up as we roll along on a Tuesday.
The new River Valley's Rock Station. 105 Big Dog on the Bear.
Five minutes for the top of the hour here. Thanks to David Smith. Great conversation. We promised the podcast is coming. That would go by so fast. That's the Baker King hotline. Text line 744-2990. Hope everybody's ready for a nice warm day. Felt so good last night and this morning. One of those where it was nice to have the air conditioner off. You could open up the windows. That was a good vibe, man. No matter how warm the day gets, don't be swerving over the middle line, bad driving guy. We discussed that in the opening hour. Don't be bad driving guy. Am I wrong about Kyle Shanahan? I mean, nobody's doubting he knows the offensive game. He's much like Sean McVay. Heck, they were on the same staff in Washington with their dad, Mike Shanahan. I mean, you talk about a staff. But, you know, they haven't won anything. They've been good. I know he's gotten into a couple Super Bowls. They run into some good teams, but they just don't. I don't know. Something about his teams always end up being the same thing that used to haunt my Broncos back in the 80s. They were never physical enough. They were never tough enough when it mattered the most to win a championship. They've got everything in place there. But there's always player issues. Ayuk being the latest. He scapegoated Steve Wilks. I won't believe the relationship that he has with John Lynch, the general manager, is as pristine and happy as people try to perceive. Just something doesn't feel right to me about that. I don't know. We shall see. Oh, Wayne's asking, best current head coach? Best current head coach? That's a good question. Well, let's go through the candidates. Let's go through guys you could throw in as best current NFL head coach. I don't think anybody in the East qualifies of the AFC. Well, especially now that I'm no longer there in New England. I'm dating a 24-year-old, and boy, maybe I should deserve greatest of all time honors just for that. Actual footage from Bill Belichick. You have to put John Harbaugh on the list for the Ravens, right? Year in, year out. I would put Mike Tomlin there. Certainly not the Browns or the Bengals coaches. In AFC South, you have a second-year head coach in Houston. No, Jacksonville. No, Indy. Definitely not Tennessee. New head coach there. Andy Reid's got to be in the conversation. Matter of fact, Andy Reid would probably win most people's polls just because, well, yeah, they win Super Bowls now. Nobody else in that division. Sean Payton is in Denver, but, you know, he's trying to get started once again after some time off, so I'd kind of leave him out of that echelon. Jim Harbaugh, I think, is going to be pretty good in Los Angeles with the Chargers. Certainly not Dallas or Philadelphia or New York or Washington. Dan Campbell, you'd have to give him some consideration, wouldn't you? Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, even? Not Minnesota. Definitely not Chicago. Not Tampa, New Orleans, Atlanta, Carolina. You got Shanahan there in Frisco. McVay would have to be in there. And then not Seattle or Arizona. So you got what? That's how many? Is that like eight? My guess is Andy Reid would win any honest competition for best NFL current head coach. I mean, I would go probably Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, Sean McVay, Mike Tomlin being my top four. I mean, I would throw Shanahan in there. Dan Campbell. Certainly Dan Campbell. That'd be my top five or six. But I think Andy Reid's probably got to be the answer, right? I mean, why did Philly ever get rid of him to begin with? Maybe he just needed a new start. John Madden famously said, hey, 10 years and you're done, right? 10 years, then you leave. That's why he was there with the Raiders 10 years. 10 years, your message is no longer being heard. Time to move on, which he did, on to broadcasting, and became the greatest analyst in football television history. Hasn't been the case for Harbaugh, Tomlin. I think they continue to persevere. Andy Reid, obviously in Kansas City, had the foresight to recognize how much Patrick Mahomes would fit his offensive vision. Like, he doesn't get enough credit for that, but he was the one guy who traded up. The other guy who liked him, Sean Payton. Sean Payton was with the Saints, and he was going to take Patrick Mahomes. They already had him on the card right before the Chiefs traded ahead of him and got him. Imagine how that would have changed the football world. But I think that's your list right there. Reed, top five for me. Reed, Harbaugh, McVay, Tomlin. I guess I would throw Shanahan or Campbell in my 5-6 range. Yeah, that's what I would do. First hour, we talked about Phil Steele ranking his top 10 surprise teams for 2024, and he's got five ACC teams, including Virginia Tech, at number 9. And now, by the way, everything's centered around Kyren Drones. Right? And I think that we look back on the first person who jumped on Kyren Drones as being maybe something beyond just being another good quarterback in Blacksburg, but it was Dwight Vick who said, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that Kyren Drones is going to play himself into the Heisman Trophy conversation. So, it's hard for me to ever disagree with anything Dwight says, right? Because he's been right so many times. You can see it, right? I tell you, the player I'm most excited about, even more than Drones, is Ollie Jennings. I think he's going to be outstanding. I think he is going to come in. You talk about a chip on his shoulder. I think he's going to be huge. I just think he's going to have this massive, here comes the connection, in case you've forgotten how well we had connected last year, you know, with the offense, with Lane on the other side. Of all the guys, I am really, really excited about Ollie Jennings 2024. Wayne asked, Bashaul Tootin 1,000 yards? Sure. Absolutely. He's a game breaker, right? He's already shown he's not easy to tackle. I mean, I think the offense can be balanced enough. They need that. I tell you what, if they get Drones playing the way I think he's going to play, if they get these receivers having the kind of years I think they're going to have, and you're running for 1,000 yards, then this team's in the ACC championship game. If that defense shows any kind of resistance at all. You know? I just believe that. You know, if I'm wrong, look, if I'm wrong, and all the people call me a homer, if I'm wrong, I'll be the, you know how I am. I've already, look no further than the whole Miami thing. All right? 2 years ago, I proclaimed I had as much confidence in Miami with Mario Cristobal and Josh Gattis coming in with Van Dyke, the quarterback. They were going to be a team that was, I think, going to be involved not only in the ACC title hunt, but I could see them sneaking into the championship conversation. Remember that? And I was wrong. And I'm not even pulling an Arthur Fonzarelli. I was wrong. Remember when he never could say he was wrong? I completely blew it. Completely blew it. And I will do the same thing if I'm wrong. I have no problem. No, yeah, you make predictions, you're going to be right, you're going to be wrong. I don't sit here like, oh, I can never be wrong. Oh, my goodness, I missed that. I can't do that. Wayne, this was completely taken out of context. You know that, and I know that.
Sam Howell's now the Mike Vick of the ACC.
That was a Neil Leahy creation, okay? Again, this comment was never said on the air.
Sam Howell's now the Mike Vick of the ACC.
Before that was something along the lines of, I'm amazed at how many people are immediately saying that
Sam Howell's now the Mike Vick of the ACC.
There you go. Yeah, below 500 guy from earlier, unsigned. Okay. I never heard back, by the way, about my steak dinner bet. Under 500. No, not going to happen. Ollie Jennings, yes. Bashaul Tootin, 1,000 yards, yes. I think Ollie Jennings could be first team all ECC. That guy, not only is he determined to get on the field because he was hurt, that guy knows he's playing for his NFL life this year. And for Tech fan, that's a huge benefit. And these are the kind of things that I think about motivations. And I'm trying to get Ali on the show here soon. Now I'm going to ask him about these things. But I believe, given the way his career was trending before the injury, this was a guy that was going to pop up all over the place in terms of NFL draft boards. Well, now he's no longer even being thought of because he was hurt. Well, he's going to use 2024 to not only play hard to try to get Tech to where they could be, but he's going to make sure people recognize him for what he could potentially be at the next level. And when you get a guy double motivated like that, oh, my goodness, if you're a Tech fan, you've got to just be salivating at the possibilities. See, I think Kyron Drones has that in him. Dwight has said that. Kyron Drones is you know what Kyron Drones is thinking? I have people ask me, think he would leave after this year. Well, not for $1.5 million. Kyron Drones might leave, but if he leaves, he's going to be going to the NFL. That's another guy trying to develop himself to be that guy. So you're going to have a couple of really, really motivated players anchoring that offense. Tootin will clearly be an NFL guy. I think Lane has a chance to be an NFL guy. So, I mean, you've got guys already in place if they continue to develop and can stay away from injury. Watch out, man. Just watch out. Will it happen? Don't know. Are the prospects of it happening very exciting if you're a Tech fan? You absolutely better believe it. Like I said, nobody understands more the... Well, we better wait and see. I don't want to be disappointed again mindset because, hey, I'm a Broncos fan. But we'll see what happens here. We're wrapping up the show. We come back after this.
It's Big Dog Sports Talk.
All right, we are back to wrap it up here on this glorious Tuesday. Good stuff. As always, thanks to everybody who chimed in on the text line. It's always a lot of fun. Either that or on Messenger. I get a lot of those as well now, which is great. Thanks to Mike Burnham, Jermaine Farrell, and David Smith. Brian Steinspring going to join us, I believe, Thursday. He's going to let me know today. He's trying to get his schedule worked out. The new head football coach at Roanoke College. We'll keep you posted on that. Tomorrow, Bill Roth, the Roth Report. Keon Brown, and maybe some other stuff on Wednesday. Good conversations today with Mike, with Jermaine, and with David Smith. Still getting texts about our wrestling conversation. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. I need to find a wrestling guy. I need to have a wrestling guy on every week. Maybe I'll find somebody who's like got a podcast. Try to get them to work out coming on. That's right, Wayne. I was Peter Criss back in the fifth grade middle school talent show. I was a drummer. I chose to be a percussionist. We had the makeup and everything. And I believe Rock and Roll All Night was the song. But the more I think about it, I think it was Detroit Rock City there.
And we got out there as the assembly, and we were the Kiss act. And then we wore the makeup the rest of the day. And I remember, you know, you're supposed to be mimicking the song, and I accidentally got too fired up, and I hit the cymbals and hit the foot pedal, and people got mad at me in the band. Because I destroyed the image. Maybe I'm just, you know, maybe down in my soul, I'm just a natural drummer. I don't know why I hit that button. Anyway, show is in the books here on a Tuesday. Fun stuff today, as is always the case. Tomorrow, we slide over to Hump Together right here on the new home for BDST, 105.3 The Bear. Thanks again for your contributions, and we will see you tomorrow, everybody. Be good.
Here at News Center 4. I'm Ron Burgundy.
You stay classy, New River Valley.